Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is here with us to minister to us your healing, your life, your truth. We just open ourselves up to you, Lord, that you may just minister to us as we just are here to receive and to acknowledge, Lord, all the good things that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, we just try to cover some topic of now. You know, we're talking about praying for breakthroughs. And it's good to see breakthroughs happening. But sometimes, you know, things may be not, you know, we may bang against the wall, and sometimes, you know, there are resistance that we have to overcome. And we have to understand how to deal with that. And that God wants to give us victory over all the things that are coming against us. But our faith is involved in receiving from God all the time. And often we just focus on our faith without realizing that actually our faith is connected to other things. So we try to work out ourselves, you know, working ourselves up, try to quote scriptures, try to do all those things that are good things to do. But is that we have to realize that there are many things that come together and are strongholds that need to be taken down sometime, that are lingering inside, affecting us. And we need to overcome those things. And there is a progress or work that we get to go through. And these things are, as I explained to you last week, the strongholds are like, you know, the fortresses that were made in the past, in which there are different levels, in which there are different walls, one after the others. And, you know, and they are built in such a way that it's difficult to break through, because if you break through one thing, there is another wall afterwards. Okay, and this is the way it is with us, when there are different components, different parts that the enemy is putting there for us to overcome. We need to understand that it's not just one wall that you have to break through, but there are other things sometimes that are there that we are not even aware of. And we have to learn to understand and to connect with the Holy Spirit so that we get directions on the things that we have to break through. You know, it's different when somebody else prays for us. Sometimes, you know, somebody from outside is able to, is not, doesn't have the same type of problem. So we can have a breakthrough that is instantaneous because of their faith instead of our faith. But when there is a, you know, when we are praying for ourselves and we want to receive ourselves, then our faith is affected by the things that are affecting us. And so because of that, you know, we need to understand how to go about overcoming and to deal with the different levels. Essentially, there are all these walls, if you want, that we had to break through, but they're not really built up that way. Spiritually, things are a bit more complicated in the sense that they are not sequential. They are all it's like a network. A network, a spiritual network of evil, of things of the enemy that is put on us, and that we may have, you know, allowed in one way or another, through time or ignorance or whatever it is, doesn't matter. The thing is, if we are connected with God, if you have the Holy Spirit inside us, is the one inside us is greater than the one is in the world, we should be able to break through no matter what it is. So we need to understand that Jesus conquered the victory. And because he conquered the victory, the enemy is defeated. But we have to, you know, there is a residual. within us sometimes that needs to be overcome, and that we need to contribute or at least participate in the process of overcoming by understanding and by taking a position. Okay, so that we can overcome. So we've seen already some things. You know, the example we used was in the Old Testament, the way the Israel, you know, took the promised land. It wasn't just one thing. They had to overcome nations after nations. And as they overcame the nation, then another one would pop up. And they had to fight against the other one until they took completely possession of the land. In a way, the same thing is for us as we, you know, accept the Lord and the Lord comes into our lives. But that doesn't mean that we, you know, our mind is completely free. But not only our mind, our body is not completely free also. And sometimes, praise God, you know, there is instantaneous deliverance in many different areas, and we can make big progress. But that doesn't mean that the whole thing happens there. You know, there is a growth that takes place, a victory that expands with us. And so when we understand the process, we don't get discouraged, because things don't happen the way we think that they should be happening, or the way our theology says that should be happening, or whatever it is. We understand that there is a process taking place, and we participate in the process, and we take a step, each part we put our foot on, we keep hold on that, and we take possession of their land. We had to do that. We had to be conscious of it, and we had to be determined. We had to be really thinking in the right way to be able to make the process without being discouraged, without giving up. This is what God spoke to Joshua, you know, be of courage, you know, be strong, just push through. And this is what we had to learn. You know, the very moment when we give in, there we allow the enemy to take over. So we need to push in to overcome.
Hallelujah.
So one of the things that we need to have, and Jesus was very clear about it, is that we need to be persistent in our approach, not to be wishy-washy, not to be just there, you know, one day pushing through, another day, you know, being tossed by the wind or whatever the situations are. We need to be constant. You know, he gave an example in Luke chapter 18, when verse starting from verse 1, talking about the widow. There was, all right, let me take it here. Okay, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them. The man always ought to pray and not to lose heart. See, that's the principle that he was trying to get across. We need to pray without losing heart. And really, you know, that sometimes is difficult to do, because our circumstances, the way we feel, the way what we are going through are affecting us in our emotions. And because of that, we have a problem in resisting the pressure that we have on. Because our emotions operate and work according to the things that are happening around us. All right? So, the principle that here is Jesus taught with the parable is that we need to ought always to pray without losing heart. All right? Let's read through it and see what we can get out of it. Verse 2, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. You know, and this is not just necessarily anybody, you know, this is just a parable that is a symbolic thing, okay? Don't try to apply this to this was the devil or this was, doesn't matter, all right? Verse 3, now there was a widow in that city that she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversaries. And he would not for a while. But after he said to himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, but because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Lest he will continually come to, and she wears me. Okay, so the idea is, you know, I don't want to be bothered by this woman keeping, you know, nagging on me. All right? All right. And then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really first find faith on earth? Now, this is going off a tangent a bit, because he was talking about something else, but really applying this in general to everything. Okay. Evidently, he was applying to the fact that, you know, when he comes, it's been already a long time, and people say, well, you know, it's 2,000 years, he's not going to come anyway. I mean, this was just, and they're giving up, and stop praying for that. Okay, stop believing for that. Well, we can see around that is actually that's happening quite well. You know, evidently, this is the situation for many people today. They don't believe anything anymore. Okay? So, but that applies personally for our whole situations. Because, you know, 2,000 years for the church history is you know, a long time, but sometimes 2,000 days for somebody that is a believer that is going through and waiting for the answer to the prayer is already too long. All right? So the idea is that, you know, this applies both from the point of view of his coming back, but also for us when we are waiting for a breakthrough and we are needing one and we just are not getting anywhere. Okay? So we need to know that we have to keep on not giving up, not giving in, but believing and not being affected by the circumstances or by the pressure that we get because of the things is not happening. Amen. Amen. Amen? Amen? All right. So the idea is, you know, that we have to keep working. Now, you know, it's interesting that says, you know, he will avenge them speedily. You know, I really think that that doesn't convey quite the idea of what he meant to say. Because if he's not been doing it for some time, you know, it's not really too speedily. You see, I really believe that the meaning of there is suddenly. You see, sudden breakthrough happen suddenly most of the time. It's just like that, from one moment to the other, you see the breakthrough happening and changing everything. Are you following me? Yeah. So the thing is, we don't need, you know, some people say, well, you know, if I want to, for example, be healed, you know, I'm going to work bit by bit and getting and receiving. And that's fine. If you want to do it that way, you know, you can do it. But actually, when the breakthrough comes, it just happened. Yeah. And you know it, it took place. Okay? All right. So that's, you see, Jesus... well, Paul, too, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, talks about praying without ceasing. I mean, you don't give up praying. You know, some people say, well, if you pray for something for once, you don't need to pray for that anymore. That's nonsense. Okay, it's not true. I mean, you have to see the way you pray. Okay, because some prayer really destroys faith. Okay, you have to pray in a way in which you are taking a position and your faith keeps working toward that. So you are actually not continuing begging God for something when instead, you know that you are coming against the forces of darkness that are hindering the things manifesting. All right? All right, so you don't give up. See, the problem that we encounter is given in Proverbs 13, verse 12, that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So you see, the thing is, when we bang against the wall all the time, our heart gets affected. So we had to do something about our hearts. We had to protect our hearts, as it says in Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. You know, to protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. So we had to take a position to protect our hearts, but not only to that, but to feed ourselves spiritually so that we can resist the pressure that the things is not happening. Are you following me? So we had to understand that there are things that we should do. There are things that are going to help us in maintaining the courage, in maintaining the strength, in remaining unmoved by the things that are not happening or that are happening against what we want. Okay? All right. So that's an important thing. And, you know, I must say that that sometimes is not that easy to do. Okay, we are fighting against current, and this is always there. And so we need to have strength and regenerate strength. So that means, you know, we have to be connected with the source of our strength, which is the Holy Spirit, empowering us, quickening us, you know, giving us the strength to overcome and to be stable, to be not to be moved. Okay. So when we understand that, when we see ourselves, see, we have to be conscious of where we are spiritually. When we feel ourselves pushed around, we cannot be thinking about other things. We have to focus on the things that are happening within us to take a position and to revert the trend that is taking place. Otherwise, they're taking over. Okay, so we had to focus ourselves, we had to concentrate, we had to allow the Holy Spirit to empower us so that we can be strong and we continue to be strong. And you know, it's not very difficult to not to figure that out. When things, when you start feeling yucky inside, you know that you have to do something. And you better do something, otherwise the yucky is going to take over. Amen? Amen? All right. So, strongholds that we had to overcome. Okay? There are different ones, you see, because each of those affect our faith, the ability to stand on. The basic one, and actually the one is actually pervasive, is sin. Okay? That, whatever, you see, sin includes many things. In Romans 14, 23 says, you know, this whatever is not of faith is sin. So the very moment you start doubting it, and his doubt is another one that, you know, you can look and focus on. But generally, you know, sin is something that you have to deal with right away in the right way. And there is only one way to deal with sin. It's repentance. Amen. Okay. The problem is that sometimes we don't acknowledge the sin that we are in. Because maybe it's minor things, maybe it's something, but it still doesn't matter, minor or major or whatever it is. If it's major, you know, you pretty well, you know. And so you better do something. But sometimes it's a smaller thing that is common for people to do. Or, you know, it's something that God doesn't want you to do that is really not a problem for somebody else. But whatever is not a sin, you know, it's not of God, it's not of faith, it's sin. So you had to deal with it, you had to acknowledge it, you had to repent it, and you had to change the situation. Otherwise, it's going to drain our faith. It's going to affect you in such a way that you are not going to get anywhere, and then you wonder why. Because there is this little thing on the side that is affecting you, and and you are there trying to confess scriptures and try to believe God and try to pump yourself up, and it never works. And you wonder why. So, you know, Proverbs 28, there are some things, I don't know if we have the time. No, we don't. Okay. There are some things that we have to understand about this, and that when we understand it, we get in a position of really unbelievable strength and stability within ourselves. And we can get there. This is the way God wants it. But we have to be sensitive. Our conscience has to be sensitive about the things that are going on inside ourselves. If we are not sensitive, then and we just, say, well, since it's not a big thing, well, that not a big thing, you know, little flies spoil the wine. So we have to realize that, and we have to deal with everything that happens if you want to move in the power of God and in the ability to get breakthroughs. See, Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsake, which is talking about repenting, okay, then will have mercy. Happy is the man who always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. You see, the thing is, if we don't take seriously our position, the position of our heart concerning the things that we had to do, we put ourselves in a position of vulnerability that allows the enemy to penetrate and to our faith is not really able to counteract it. Okay? See, today, especially, you know, in the past, there was so much concentration on sin consciousness that people start preaching against sin consciousness. And the way, you know, and the way traditional religion dealt with us, you know, God was there with a hammer trying to get you all the time. And so, you know, as soon as you made a mistake, squash, and you were done. You know, that's not God. That was right. That was exposed and was not the way God is. But now, you see, the point is the pendulum always shifts from one place to the other. So today, you know, what happened is that with the hyper-grace teaching, you know, everything, you doesn't matter what you do, you know, all things been paid for. Nonsense. This is the way to put people into bondage so that they are not going to be able to get from God because God doesn't mix with sin. It doesn't mix with the wrong thing. And so that is really, you see, the idea is that we shouldn't be focused on sin. We shouldn't be there just considering ourselves like, a mess. But at the same time, we have to have a conscience that is sensitive to the presence of God and can respond to things according to what the direction of God is. And to be able to do that, there is one way only. You have to know the Word well. You have to be connected with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be able to talk to you and show you the things when you miss it so that you can fix it on the spot. This is what he wants to do. This is what, it's a question of balance. You can go in all the direction and get nowhere, but when you are balanced, then with the truth, you are in the truth and not in distortions of the truth, then the power of God is going to be in you and is going to guide you. And even if you make a mistake, you know, if the righteous fall 10 times, the Lord pull them up all the time. Amen. So that's the thing. You see, it's not a question of, oh, I made a mistake. We can make mistakes. We are human. Okay? And mistakes will happen. The point is, when you made a mistake, say, I made a mistake. And he is there to pick you up and to fix the situation and to fix the problem so that it doesn't affect you anymore. You see, that's balance. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, well, this is very simple. You know, you confess the thing, you receive you decide to forsake that's what you did that was wrong. That means, you know, you repent. That's what repentance is. It's not be there crying and you're just saying, well, this was wrong. There may be feelings sometime, and that's fine. But then after that, you get the forgiveness, and you get cleansed, and you get with God's presence in you back the way it was before. Without being there flagellating yourself because, oh, I made a mistake. Yes, you are human. Okay. You appropriate, again, righteousness. Not your righteousness. His righteousness. Hallelujah. Okay. So there is Psalm 34, verse 4, 7. And unfortunately, we are not going to be able to get through the whole thing because it's already, the time is running out. But I'm going to start on this and I'm going to leave. Actually, last week, I gave you, at the end of the message, I gave you something that was talking about what I'm going to be talking now. Okay. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Hallelujah. I mean, you know, you say, I have to read more. Sorry. All right. And says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Now, you know, those two statements seems contradictory. Because in one moment says, encamps to those who fear him. And the next time, the next verse says, those who trust in him. How can you trust somebody that you fear? I mean, if you fear somebody, that means, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next, so you're afraid. How can you get closer to somebody that you are fearful of? So evidently, you know, the way we interpret things, you know, if you're afraid of me, you are not going to trust me. All right? So if you are at the same time fearful and afraid and trusting, there is something that you are missing about understanding what fear is in this particular case. Okay? This is really something that you had to meditate on. And I'm going to leave you with a few more things, but, you know, on this, because you cannot understand the principle of the fear of the Lord in your mind with your thinking. But when you get that concept by revelation, because all the spiritual things you had to get by revelation, when you get that by revelation, what's going to happen, that you are going to be in a position that you never, and maybe you're already there, bless the Lord, but I don't know many are. When you really get the revelation, the full revelation of what the fear of the Lord is, you get in a position in which there is so much strength in you that you are not movable anymore. See, in Isaiah chapter, 66, something like that, and verse, you know, it says something, you know, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Can you believe that? I mean, to say that the fear of the Lord is his treasure means that it's something really special. And that when we grasp that idea, you know, in the right way, not in the fleshy way, okay, it's not there splashing you. No, not at all. He's there blessing you. Okay? But if you understand it properly, it affects your position, your attitude toward God. You see, it's really a desire to do exactly what he wants. That is motivating you and guiding you in the things you choose and you do. You see, do you think that Jesus needed to have the fear of the Lord? Well, he had the fear of the Lord. If he had it, do we need it? Yes. Everything that he had is our example. So when we understand that, when we can connect with him, see with the way, what result, what kind of result produced that produced in him, we can get the same result ourselves. This is why it's so important. Okay, he is our example. And lots of people, when you talk about the fear of the Lord, they go, you know, doesn't sound too good, doesn't sound too uplifting. Actually, it's a gift. It's a treasure that God gives us. And it's not, quotation mark, fearful the way fear is. See, what I said last week when I was finishing my message was, you know, when you get the fear of the Lord, all the other fears will vanish. Hallelujah. See, there is no reason to fear anything when you know that you are connected with Him. And this is really what the fear of the Lord is. It's not a question of a fear. It's a desire, a reverence toward Him, a desire to be fully connected with Him and to please Him. This is what Jesus did. He wanted to please the Father. He was here to please the Father. We are here to please the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. I was hoping to go through most of the Psalm, and there are many other scriptures, you know, but we will have to do it next week. But you can start meditating on it. Read Psalm 34. Read the whole thing, because you can start seeing some of the promises that go together with that. It's so exciting to discern, to see the way God thinks about this. And how different that is from all the other type of fears. We can talk about the other type of fear if we need to, but you know, the point is, all these things become immaterial anymore. You can start seeing God working in supernatural way. You know, you can break through easily when you had the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, I'll keep going for another hour or two, but but I won't. Hallelujah. So this is something we are going to expand on next week. At least we got close there. Praise the Lord. We should close in prayer. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit opening the word to us so that we can receive it and we can, Lord, apply it to our lives in a way that produces results. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, that there is nothing impossible to you. Yeah. We could see it this morning, Lord, as we prayed and people received, each person that came here received this morning, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your presence in our midst, for your ability, Lord, to overcome any blockage, any disease, any problem that we may have, Lord, for guiding us step by step, for putting your angels around us to lift up us so that we will not dash our foot against a stone, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us, Lord, even before we deserved it anything, Lord. And we don't deserve it, Lord. It was Jesus, Lord, that deserved it for us. And we can rejoice in that, Lord. And we can be thankful, Lord, for your love that passes all understanding, for your ability, Lord, that is beyond our imagination. And we just thank you, Lord, that we are able to come before your presence, Lord, with our knees to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.